The sermon series that we have is called Not a Fan. And some people may know, it was Ingrid who led worship. She was asking me this week. She goes, okay, I see what that means, but what does it really mean? By the end of today's service and by the end of the next few weeks, you'll understand what that means when I says not a fan. How many of you in here, let's see a show of hands, have a child that is either going to college now, getting ready to go to college, or went through college? Let me see a show of hands here. All right. So imagine for a second that you have a kid, a young adult, you're sent off to college. He is brilliant. He's a pre-med major. And just like most college students, he's broke, right? He ain't got no money. And so he says, hey, mom, dad, I can make a little extra money because I know a little about computers. I can put computers together and I can, you know, change out some chips and or change out some cards and memory cards and make the computer faster. I think I can make some money on campus doing this. And you're like, okay. And that's not really like a real job, but you can do that and maybe you can make a couple bucks. A couple months later, you call him up to see how he's doing because you notice that his grades are slipping. And you say, hey, Johnny, and Johnny could be a boy or a girl, right? J-O-N-I or J-O-H-N-N-Y. And so you say, Johnny, how are you doing? Your grades are slipping. And he says to you, he says, well, I've been a little busy kind of working on this computer stuff, but what do kids normally say or kids normally say to us? I got this. That's my second son's favorite sentence to me. Daddy, I got this. And so we're like, I'm worried about your grades. He's like, no, I'm going to do more. I'm going to do both. And he said, man, I think you need to focus on your grades. And he's like, no, I got this. And so a little bit later on, another couple months goes by, you call him up, you say, hey, what's going on? And he says to you, hey, look, this business, now he's not calling the business, is taking more of my time. I'm making some money in it, and I'm thinking about dropping out of college. Oh, what's your reaction? What's your reaction? Do you encourage him and say, son, go for it. My daughter, go for it. Or do you say, finish your school? You see, many times in life, we come upon this moment where we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? We face a crossroads here. We have to make a choice. And some of you with college-age kids can think about that and you really understand this moment. Is this a hobby or is it a career? If you watch Shark Tank, that's one of the favorite things that they ask on Shark Tank. If you don't want to quit your job to do the business, and you don't have a business, you have a hobby. Is it a hobby or is it a career? By the way, the story that I told you about is actually a real story. The kid's name was Michael Dell. And Michael Dell started Dell Computer. He dropped out of college, and in the first 2 months of dropping out of college, he had three people working for him, and he made $80,000 in revenue. Within a year of doing that, he had $6 million in revenue. Michael Dell faced that moment where he faced with a choice. He says, what am I going to do? Am I going to follow this or I'm going to follow this? Now, most of you here probably can't even deal with that and says, that's kind of like business stuff. But how's this? Let me try this on for you. How many of you here have been in love? Let's see a show of hands. All married folks better have their hands up. How many of you have been in some serious like? How many of you have had a crush on somebody and that person has had a crush back in you? It says, write one if you love me, write two if you don't. Well, you know how that goes. When I was in high school, I was dating a girl that was a few years older than me. It's not Donna. Donna is a few years younger than me. I always have to look at her for approval. Something should tell me that I should actually go over these sermons with her before. All right, I'm committed. I gotta keep going. So I was dating this girl, and you know, I was having a grand old time. She was older than me, so I was having the time of my life. I was dating a college girl, and I was in high school. I was, like, feeling really good about life. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I got it like that. And then, one day, for those of you guys who have ever been in love, she asked me this question. She goes, Gary, where is this relationship going? Brother was not prepared for that question. I called it the DTR moment. That it's a moment where you have to define the relationship. You got to define the relationship. What is it that we have here? What is it that we have here? Girls will do that to you, you know. Good for asking that question. What is it that we have here? What's going on? What are we doing in this relationship? Is this for fun or is this for real? Am I committed to a relationship with you? Or she's asking me, are you committed to a relationship with me? Or are you committed to the idea of a relationship with me? Of the benefits of a relationship with me. But are you committed to a relationship with me? The sermon series is called Not a Fan. A few months ago, I saw Philip Brady reading this book called Not a Fan. And Philip said to me, hey, that's a good book. You should read it. I read that book, and that book knocked me upside my head. That book caused me to look at myself in a way and my Christianity in a way that I hadn't looked at in a very long time. And I said, Lord, what would you want me to do with this information? And I felt strongly that the Lord wanted me to share this information with you. So this stuff comes out of a book called Not a Fan. Not a Fan. It's to become a completely committed follower of Christ. Today, and for the next few weeks, I want us to examine our relationship with Christ, our relationship with Jesus. And I believe very strongly that Jesus wants to have a DTR conversation with us. And Jesus wants to ask us, so what do we have here? What do we have here? Are you committed to me or are you committed to the idea of me? It's time to define the relationship. You know, some of you here will say that, yeah, I'm ready for that DTR talk. As a matter of fact, I already have it. And I'm good. You know, I like the routine, and I come to church every week, and everything is all hunky dory, and we're good. God, you and I, you know, we got it like that. We're good. And so Jesus saying, where do you really stand with me? Where do you really stand with me? Before you get out of shape and bent out of shape and you start to think about, well, I am a completely committed follower to Christ and I'm not a fan. Let me define the word fan for you for a second. A fan literally means enthusiastic admirer. An enthusiastic admirer. Many of us are sports fans. And if you like football, this is a time of year where you're like in your element. If you like basketball, it's around March. If you like football, this is a time of year when we have all these board games. I mean, all these bowl games, and we have these NFL playoffs. And so many of us will watch our team, and we'll cheer our team on, and we will know the pertinent statistics. We will know who the quarterback is, and we will know how many passes he throws, what his completion percentage. We know many things about about our teams. And that's what a fan does. They're an enthusiastic admirer. But the fact is, many people, when it comes on to their faith and their relationship with Christ, they're very much like that, an enthusiastic admirer of Christ. Pastor Charles told me a story a few months ago, kind of stuck in my mind. I'll share that story with you. He said that there was a family, a man, his wife, and his son, who they came to church every Sunday. Now, the wife was a committed follower. She was very much involved. She had a real relationship with Christ, and the man kind of wasn't. And so the woman, the wife, sang on the praise team. The man was a spectator. So he sat in the back, and he'd come every week, and his son would sit with him. And at the time when the offering comes around, he would take out, a couple bucks, and he'd put it in a plate. And so one day his son, seeing this, asked him, says, "Dad, every week you come to church and you kind of do the same routine over and over again. What's the deal with that?" And his father responded and says, "Son, look, I come every week. I meet some good people. I listen to some good music. I eat some good food outside. And it only cost me $2. Where can I go to get a show like that for $2? That's an enthusiastic admirer. Loves the benefits of the relationship more than the relationship. And so, Jesus is not really interested in enthusiastic admirers. I mean, he is interested in everybody, but he's interested in a deeper relationship with you. He's interested in a deeper relationship with me. Here's what, Jesus says. And Jesus, Jesus would do these things, and I'm going to touch on it a number of times. He would do these things, and people would all be following him, and then he'd drop a statement like this that he dropped in Luke 9:23. Now, let me just kind of set the story up for you, because bulk of our time is going to spin around this story. Jesus had just, there are crowds following him, and Jesus was at the height of his popularity, and everybody kind of loved him. He's doing all these miracles and stuff, and people were following him, and he was teaching and healing people in this large crowd. And the Bible tells us there were 5,000 men. And there were women and children there. So you figure 2.2 children per man, so you're looking at about 12, 13,000 people sitting there. And the disciples were like, "Okay, the people are getting hungry. Are we going to feed them?" And the disciples were like, "Hey, send them out." And Jesus was like, no, have them sit down in groups of 50. And he took a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he broke them up and he spread them out, and at the end they collected 12 basketfuls. But then Jesus kind of dropped this on them a little bit later on. He says here, "If any man will follow me, he must do 3 things. He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." People would have had an issue with that, because the cross was not something that you'd want to take up. It'd be like today, he said, if I was like this great teacher and stuff, I says, "Hey, if any man want to follow me, they must deny themselves, take up their electric chair, and come follow me." It's like, what are you talking about? But Jesus would drop stuff like that on folks that would just really get people just a little bit, kind of stunned. But you see, Jesus knew that people were there for the miracles. They were there for the show. They cared more about the show than for the transformational teachings. So the question that Jesus asked this morning, and there are 3 questions that he wants us to define the relationship with him. The first question is, why are you here? Why are you here? Some people come to church and say, "Man, I can't believe I came to church today and heard a message like this. I expected an uplifting 2015 go-get-em world." And by the way, this message is an uplifting message, because when you have a relationship with Christ, a truly good relationship with Christ, stuff like Laura talked about this morning, her testimony, is yours. It's the grace and favor of God ministering through many different things, through people who aren't Christians, through people who are Christians. There's this benefits from being in the family of God. The Bible tells us that, and it's one of our favorite verses that we use around here because our mission statement is based on this. In John 10:10, Jesus says, look, I came to give you a full life. I came to give you not only life, but life to the full. So that's the positive message here. But the question that Jesus is asking, one of the three, is, why are you here? See, in the story, Jesus had just fed these people. And these people were so happy and so mad. Man, I'm hanging out with this dude. This dude is like, he's like the guy to hang with. And they were hanging with him so much that they're like, nah, we got to make this guy king. And in John 6, verse 15, it tells all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, tells the same story, but they tell it from a different perspective. So in John's version, in John 6, verse 15, it says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew himself into the mountain by himself. So Jesus just fed these people. People like, man, this guy is cool. I want to hang with this guy. This guy should be king. Let's make him our king. And Jesus disappeared and went up into the mountain. Question I ask you this morning is, why are you here? Is it because you like a small church? Is it because you like the food, the music, the people? Is it because you like the relationship with Christ? Why are you here? Now, these are good reasons to kind of want to be here. Great people, great food, great music, all that is really good stuff. But is that the reason why you're here? I want you to imagine that you meet this really nice girl. You're single, right? So you imagine everybody's single for a second, right? And or a guy, if you're a girl, you meet a guy, kind of put in which gender works for you. And by the way, it should be the opposite gender. So you meet this person, then this person is like the greatest thing. They're better than sliced bread. They're better than sliced hard dough bread. They're better, if you like hard dough bread. They're like so nice, and they're like a strong Christian, and they got a really great family, and their family owns a series of businesses, and they have money, and she has a career, or he has a career, whoever it is, and everything is like going great. You meet their family, the family loves you, and say you went to school for whatever you went to school for, and they just happen to have a business, a series of businesses that has that, and they're like, look, we're looking for somebody to come head this up and lead this up, and you're there, and they're always having you over, and they're all inviting you to stuff. I love having a relationship with this girl. But all of a sudden is that the family starts to take up more time than you're spending with this girl or this guy, and she pops in, and she says, why are you here? Are you here because of the benefits of my family, or are you here because of me? Why are you here? And you come, and that's your DTR moment. You're like, you see, is the girl the gravy, or is she the main course? Is she the cake, or is she the icing? Is the family the icing, or is the family the cake? Why are you here? In John 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus had just fed thousands of people from the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the people were so excited about it. Man, you know, when nightfall came, the disciples like took off. They left and went to the other side of the lake. And they left the people there. And Jesus was still up in the mountain. They didn't even wait on Jesus. They like took off and left. And there was a storm on the lake. And you know, boats were going to and fro. And then the disciples look out and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And that would have freaked me out. It freaked them out too. But if you know the story, and I won't go into all the details, Jesus gets in the boat and the storm was calm. And they got to the other side. They're on the other side. The folks who were following him woke up the next morning and they're like, oh snap, our sugar daddy's gone. Jesus is gone. What are we going to do? So they went to the other side of the lake, and here's what they said. They said, so when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Because the last they knew, he was up in the mountains. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. Let me just pause there. Jesus recognized that they just wanted to be with him because he fed them, because of the good stuff, because, you know, he was the gravy. The main course was the stuff that they were getting. And he said, you didn't want to be with me because you understood. These miraculous signs were just supposed to point you to say, hey, come, I want a relationship with you. I want a deep personal relationship with you. And, you know, Jesus kind of explains this to them, and then Jesus starts doing some bizarre stuff. He's like, telling them, like, hey, look, you know, I am from the Father, and I am the bread of life, and, you know, you got to partake of my... The disciples are like, what in the world is he talking about? I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to be a part of this. And then, because Jesus was there to say, hey, if you're going to be with me, it requires a deeper level of commitment. And by the way, you get all those benefits, but yeah, you have to, this is what I require of my followers. This is what I require of my followers. And so the Bible tells us that the crowds in John 6, that's kind of a weird verse, John 6, 66. Verse 66 of John 6. Okay, I'll do it that way. At this point, many of the disciples, which are the thousands, turned away and deserted them. And you go two more verses down, and Jesus look around, and all of a sudden, there are only 12 people still there. This is a man who's just did all of this, and he's like, hey, this is what following me requires. He's having this DTR talk, and everybody says, I'm dipping out. And he goes on to say, I don't have the verses up there, where Jesus said to the 12, says, hey, are you going to leave too? And Peter, one of the 12, says, Lord, you're it, man. We have nowhere else to go. You're it. See, Peter was not a fan. Peter was not an enthusiastic admirer. Peter was like, I'm all in. I'm all in. But there's a second question that God wants, second DTR question that God has for you today. And you know, I want to pause here and say, I'm going to stress it because this, what Jesus wants from you, and I use God and Jesus interchangeably because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are co-equal with one, and it's a mystery, and you just got to take, you don't have to take my word for it, take the Bible's word for it, because the Bible has never been wrong on any one of its prophecies, just never, and you know, I've been wrong many times. My wife thinks I'm wrong more often than I know I'm wrong. But the Bible is never wrong. The Bible is never wrong. And so I would kind of go with that over me. So anything I say, just go back and check it out. But Jesus is like, look, man, I desire a personal relationship with you. It says in Psalms 8:4, it says, who am I that you are mindful of me? And we sing a song called Friend of God that uses a paraphrase that, you know, that says that, hey, the God of all creation is like, he's just right there and says, hey, God, I have a problem. He's like, yeah, I'm right here. All the time, 24 hours, 24-7. And this God says, hey, I want to have that relationship with you. That's why he's having the DTR questions. So the second question he asked you this morning is, are you all in? And so the first question is, why are you here? The second question is, are you all in? See, being a follower requires commitment. It's not just partial commitment. It requires full commitment. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to negotiate stuff. I just believe anybody who's ever asked me for advice about taking a job, no matter what they offer you, I always say, go back and ask them for more. Or go back and ask them for a later start date. Or go back, because I always believe that the first offer is not really the best offer. And, you know, the only thing they can say is no, and then you're no worse off than you are before. So I like to negotiate stuff. But But Jesus is not really kind of interested in negotiation, right? And so, you know, but we try to do it all the time. He's like, man, I like following Jesus. There's some good principles there. There was a friend of mine who got married to a guy who is a non-Christian. And what she said to me, well, what he said to me when I talked to him, he's like, look, man, I truly believe in this Jesus thing, right? And he was saying, I just don't believe the entire Bible. I believe some of it. I'm like, how do you get to choose which parts do you believe? Like, how do you know which one? And if it's not all true, then it's not true, right? It's either all true or it's not true, right? And so, but we do that all the time. So let me drop this one on you. See, we like to define our relationship with Jesus based on some negotiation, right? So let me try this one out. Well, I know I'm supposed to forgive, right? Because God says forgive, and I know I'm supposed to forgive. But you don't really know what he's done to me. You don't really know what he's done to me. It's like, I can't forgive that. Oh, I'm going to forgive him right after I get even. And so you carry around a resentment. You will not let it go and let it down on the feet of Jesus because you're like, I don't trust that he's going to take care of it. So he's like, I'm going to carry that. I'm going to carry that with me because I don't want to give that up. I don't want to turn over to him. Let me drop another one on you. Sexual desires. You know, many people, sex is one of the most powerful drugs out there. And many people, they start and they can't stop. Right? Or they don't want to stop. They can't stop. They don't want to stop. And so they're having, you may be having sex outside of marriage. And God is like, look, I'm not asking you for perfection, but what I'm asking you for is a desire for perfection. I'm asking you to move forward and take some steps towards that, and for every step I'll give you strength to go along the other way, to follow along the other way. And you're like, I got needs. And you say like, well, if God didn't want me, he wouldn't have built me with these desires. And so we negotiate that with God. It could be not even be that. It could be other things, the things that you're doing that you're not supposed to be doing. You know, God is like, look, man, I have a standard. I want you to follow the standard. When you follow the standard, life will be better for you. It will be a better life for you. Here's another one, money. I'll follow Jesus. A tithe? 10%? Man, I got bills. God says in Malachi, trust me. It's like, and in PCC here, we don't preach 10%. What we preach is that everything that you have is a blessing from God. And the question is, what is sufficient to give back when everything that you have is not yours anyway? Right? So you and God make the determination. But the Bible in the Old Testament gives you an example of 10%. But anyway, so you're like, God knows I got bills with a capital B. And God says, trust me. And you're like, nah, I got some bills. And how about serving in a ministry? And God says, serve one another, which is, I'll do this, you do this, both of us together, serving one another together. It's like, man, I just want to come and be a spectator. That's just too hard to get involved. I need some sleep. It's tough. What about sharing your faith? God says that, hey, look, man, if this thing that you have is a good thing, which it is, I want you to go out, and as you're going, I want you to share it with people and teach them and baptize them. And he's like, yeah, but if I do that, people are going to look at me like I'm crazy, like I'm weird. And so you don't. So we follow Jesus in the areas where it's easy, and the areas where it's hard, we don't. But the problem is, Jesus wants you to be all in. He just wants you to be all in. And he wants you to be striving to be all in. So remember what I said, it'll never be perfect on this side of eternity, but a striving towards getting to the place where God wants to be, where you and him are just like tight. But the third question, DTR question that Jesus is asking to you today is, have you made it your own? have you made it your own? Many of you know my story, and I won't get into all the details here. For those of you who don't know, but I'll just kind of refresh your memory. You know that I kind of went through a little rebellious phase when I was in my, when I was like 16 or so, and in between 16 and 18. I put on a good facade. I was still coming to church most of that time. But I went on a journey. I wanted to see if this Christianity thing was real. And so I went on a journey. I studied all these major religions of the world and stuff. And I came back to Christianity, and what the Bible taught was the only thing that made sense. And I'll tell you guys about that in more detail some other time. But I went on that. And at that point, it became not my parents' faith. It became my faith. I made it my own. It is not something my parents did, but it's something that I believe in, that the Bible is inspired word of God, that Jesus is the Messiah. I made Jesus my own. And many of us started going to church for different reasons. Many of us come to church for different reasons. The reasons are endless. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution. Maybe it's someone guilted you into it. Maybe it's, you didn't have a choice. Like you're a kid and your parents says, we're going. My dad did this. I was telling somebody last night, two of the guys were at my house last night. I was telling them, my dad, on Sunday morning, he's like, look, anybody's inside my house on Sunday morning is going to church. And if you don't go to church, then you can't be my house. And he was serious. He didn't care who it was. He's mellowed out with age. But back then, he was like, Sunday mornings, this family goes to church. This household goes to church. And we had a cousin staying with us. She went to school for 4 years, and she went to church with us for 4 years. And close to her graduation, she said one morning, she goes, I'm not going. My father's like, are you sick? She goes, no, I'm just not going. He's like, you went to church when he came home. He's like, you have 3 days to leave. And he kept it. She left in 3 days. He's like, I have a standard. So maybe you're here because somebody did. Maybe it's because you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that's bugging you. Maybe it's your husband or wife that's bugging you. Maybe it's just for a peaceful life. They like it when you come here. For those of you who have come to church for whatever your reason are, it's very easy to become a fan. It's very easy to become a fan. You come here for a while, and then you start to like it. You know, you like, after a while, kind of get to know the music. It's like this. It's like this analogy. So my son likes Kanye West. I thought Kanye West was the biggest idiot I've ever come across, because my only exposure to him was on the Grammys a few years ago, where he embarrassed himself, and he was drunk or something, and he said Taylor Swift's song was good, but Beyonce had the best album or some crazy thing like that. And so, but every time I'd get in the car, my son would say to me, Jonathan would say, Daddy, listen to some Kanye West. I'm like, okay, let me hear what he's listening to. As I started listening to it, I started more and more and more, I started to, And I started to appreciate his flow, and I'm like listening to the kind of little Chaka Khan thing going on there. Some of you guys don't know what this, but there are a couple people here who know what I'm talking about, right? And sing the song Through the Wire, and he talked about, when he was in this accident and stuff. I'm like, hey man, that's like some deep lyrics. And then he had a song called Jesus Walks. I'm like, all right, yeah. And then he wrote a song. I'm like, man, this dude is sensitive. He wrote a song called Hey Mama. And I was just listening to the lyrics, and it says, there's a line from it. It says, tell your job, you got to fake them out. Since you brought me in the world, let me take you out on a date, he's talking about to his mother, to a restaurant, an upper echelon restaurant. I'm a get you a Jag, whatever else you want. Just tell me what kind of S-type Donda West wants. That's his mom. Tell me the perfect color so I can make it just right. It don't gotta be Mother's Day or your birthday. for me to call you and say, hey, mama. I'm like, man, Kanye is nice. But somebody says to me, hey, you want to go to a Kanye concert? I'm like, nah. I was like, I'm an admirer. I'm a fan. I can appreciate it, but I ain't all into all of that. That can happen at church. That can happen in your relationship with Christ. You come here and, you know, there are some songs that we do all the time, some new ones, but some songs we do all the time. Kind of get to know the songs, you start to know it. We use some verses, you know, after a while you may recognize some of them. You can even quote them and you start to get into it. And before you know it, you become an enthusiastic admirer. You become a fan. And you're there and, you know, maybe you start serving in some ministry and you're there. But it's not your faith. It's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your husband, or your wife. And Jesus is saying, hey, have you made it your own? Have you made it your own? Have you made this relationship with me your own? See, God's not interested in a relationship with me, Donna, and him as the primary relationship. He's interested in a relationship with me and him. He's also interested in me, Donna, and him from a family perspective, but first and foremost, and he's interested in a relationship with you and him. And you and him. You know, I'm going to invite the praise team to come to the platform. I'm kind of closing this up here, but some of you are like sitting here today is like, you know, wondering what just happened today. Pastor Gary just knocked me on top of the head with this kind of like heavy thing where Jesus is saying, hey, I want to define the relationship. Some of you showed up today and it may be like your first date. You know your first date, how that works? First date, you know, some people don't believe in dating, but in our Western culture, kind of do that. You get on the date and you try to decide whether or not you want to move forward at this. Now, one person may like the other person. The other person's not really sure that they kind of like the other person. So, you know, they're kind of like testing out the waters. And some of you may be here today, and it's like a first date. Right? He's like, I try out this Jesus thing. Let me see. Maybe it works for me. And that's cool because God wants you to be sure that this is what you want. Right? He doesn't want you to make somebody else's commitment. He wants you to make a commitment. But some of you are like the more impulsive type. It's like love at first sight. Or there's a brother here who talked about that a couple weeks ago. That, you know, he just looked and he's like, okay, this is it. This is a girl for me. I'm just going to go in. So some of you may be here. It's first date. It's like, all right, I'm here. And Jesus is what I want. Right there, right now. And they just go for it. Right? But wherever you are, right, you know, Jesus wants you to be real where you are. But the second thing is that there are others who have been dating Jesus for a while. And they've been dating Jesus for a while and you know, it's been going out. And Jesus is like, okay, we've been dating for a while. I love you. I love you. Do you love me back? What do we have here? What's happening here? And Jesus is like, I want more of you. I said, I want to have a personal relationship. What do you want from me? Do you want the same with me? And there are still others here who have said, yep, I have made a commitment to be a committed follower of Christ, but I'm still living the fan life. I'm still in the fan life. But you may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you, like, haven't put a ring on it. You've made a relationship with Christ. But he may be saying, hey, it's time to get baptized. And baptize is simply, we dip you under the water, and we rise you up, and we say we're buried with Christ, and we're risen with him. But reality, what it does, it publicly identifies to the world that I am identifying myself with Christ. So some people have made that commitment, and they haven't gotten baptized. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take the next step. I want you to work to becoming a committed follower of Christ. If you're on that, you know, chances are you're a fan. If you come here every week and you expect to be served every week and you just chill out, maybe you're a fan. Maybe you're a fan. If you cannot look back at your life over the past year, over the past 2 years, or whatever time that you have started this relationship with Jesus, and you can't see your life being transformed, and transformed and transformed into what Jesus is teaching about the image of Christ, maybe you're a fan. Maybe you're a fan. Jesus this morning is saying, I don't want an enthusiastic admirer. He's like, I want to define this relationship. I want you to think about why you're here. Are you all in? Have you made me your own? Folks, the life, I've been a Christian now. I've been following Christ, a Christ follower, for really seriously since about 18. Really seriously. And I'm telling you, there is no better life than a life with a relationship with Christ. There's just no better life. I don't know how else to say it. There's just no better life. I'm talking from personal experience. There is no better life. As the praise team sings a song, I'm going to come back up and close the message off and close our meeting off. Our council's up here. If you want to know a little bit more about how to be a completely committed follower of Christ, if you want to know about baptism, if you want to know about anything at all that I may have mentioned today, our council's up here. We'll speak with you. We just want to encourage you to take advantage of that. We'll be covering this topic and going deeper for the next few weeks beyond this. So there's more to come. But I encourage you all to not be a fan, but to be a completely committed.
When he shall come with trumpet sound.